So I've got a question for you. If you had to drive into a wall, right, for 10 grand, how fast would you drive into it? Catch, for every mile per hour you go over 100, so you have to drive into a wall at 100 miles an hour regardless, but if every mile per hour you go over 100, you get an extra grand.
How far am I driving into the wall from?
I don't give a shit. You tell me. It's, you know, you got to drive into the wall.
What's so that? I could drive from 1 meter away.
Yeah, but you're not going to get up. You're not going to get up to 100. Yeah.
How quick are you going to get up to 100 realistically?
I mean, I didn't do too great in physics. It wasn't really my strong point.
I think how quick you can get there in a car.
Gravity just doesn't agree with me.
Driving to what, 100 miles an hour?
100 mile an hour, right? You're probably about, I mean, 0 to 60 on an average car is about, what, 7, 8 seconds?
I've no idea. I don't know cars.
I mean, I've watched Top Gear. I'm trying to remember. I think it's about 7, 8 seconds. Probably not. Probably fucking slower than that.
I'm going to be boring on this and ask questions, which ruins the whole game.
Okay.
Do you have a helmet on?
You are a helmet, so yeah.
Excellent. Good start. I mean, realistically, we're fucking, you could die anyway.
I mean, you might not.
But you probably will.
What if you like wrapped up like properly and like you're in a seatbelt, you got all the neck support, you're basically like guaranteed to sort of like maybe fly over the wall as a car crashes.
How big's the wall? Is it just the wall or is it a house?
I'm going to be brutally honest. I haven't thought that far ahead.
Ask stupid questions.
How big's the wall? Just tell him how big the wall is. How big's the wall? Fuck's sake, height.
Ask stupid questions, get stupid answers. I haven't even given an answer, to be fair.
Yeah, no, you haven't. I was going to say height.
It's the side of a house.
Cool.
But is it just the wall or is it the actual house? Because if you just drive into a wall, you'll go through it. Or is it a house with stuff behind the wall and therefore you won't go through it?
It's a fucking wall, Tom. How fast are you going to drive into it? Just tell me, give me an answer.
Fuck it. 140. Probably die anyway, but I'll get 50 grand.
You get 140 grand. Wait, hang on. No,
you get 50 grand. You said 10 for 100, and then
That's it. 50 grand. Not bad. Get a deposit for that. Maybe pay some rent in London on the average prices. Anyway, guys.
In my wheelchair, if I'm lucky.
Welcome to the Chelsea Echo podcast, where we barely talk about the football and we'll talk about how fast you drive into walls. This week it is just myself and Tom ahead of the Bournemouth game. The international break is over. I'm so happy about that. That's something which, you know, we needed more of. As everyone very well knows from the previous episode, Tobes is, apparently, according to the title that Tom's written, that one where Tobes is in MAGA because he's on the piss in MAGA.
Fact.
And apparently we're back, hashtag stronger. We're still doing this.
Yep. Every week, baby.
I mean, in fairness, I do have something I do want to have a bone to pick with Crouchy. Right? The big lanky man. Okay, they've started trying to do predictions with forfeits on their one because, you know, they're bigger and got a bigger budget, you know, backed by Brewdog and all that stuff, and we haven't got any of that. And they're trying to steal our thunder
yet. Be positive always
glass half full, you know, that sort of stuff,
you know. It
do your mantras. We're at, me and Al actually having a conversation about this before you arrived. Also, yeah, Jordan's not here, so as you can see, we're back in the Rebel studio at last. We've got Al in the corner doing the production, doing his thing. We were having a discussion about, you know, how, like, if you always lose everything in life, you did win one race, and that is the race to the egg.
Fucking hell.
What? I never won the 100-meter sprint at school.
Yeah, but...
What? Listen, I could have been...
Before you've even stepped foot on this planet, that's the only race you've ever won.
Probably. I also, you know, I could have been like some muscle-bound Adonis with no personality.
Instead, you're both. Be positive, mate. Come on. You can see what you want to see.
In 2023, I know. But, mate, come on. Let's just call a spade a spade. I'm the sexiest man alive. Great, thank you. But anyway, I wanted to get back to the point, and I did want to say, Crouchy, they're trying to steal our thunder. We were doing it first, so we will continue to say pass the pod, make it our own. And we will be back stronger constantly.
Yeah.
We have our rights back.
Yeah. That really original idea of doing Premier League predictions every week, that was ours, Crouchy.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. No one's ever done it before.
It's the forfeits, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be the forfeits.
Actually, I'm going to interject there, okay. Speaking on the subject of forfeits.
Go on.
By the way, in this prediction game that we have lovingly played and made our own crowd sheet, take note, I bloody won, didn't I? I bloody won. I was behind. I was really struggling. Sunday morning, I was like, I don't like the idea of a power, what is it?
The blue bloody, power range
that's
costume.
The one, power
I range. Think you'd look great in spandex.
I no doubt about it, I would. But I don't have to do it now, because I won. Because I said Liverpool would win, they did, and I said Palace would beat Wolves, and they did. You guys both said 1-1, and you both had a draw. So you both came joint second, technically, or last. Another race you lost. and so one of you will have to dress in that lovely blue Power Ranger outfit.
I've already set the money aside, just to be safe.
Excellent. Good to... So on that occasion, be glass half empty and think you're going to lose. Because if you don't, then you've got a round at a pub. Maybe, if you're lucky. Maybe you'd like a pint.
I mean, yeah, there is that. Mm. It's probably about half pint.
Yeah. But the tie break will be next week when Tobes is back. The next round of Premier League games. The loser of that will do it.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And it also obviously carries on into the next month and the whole season's one.
Yeah, okay. And we're not doing it this week because Al doesn't like football. Should we just ring Jordan and just get him to do the predictions?
Or just ring Tobes?
Well, he's not going to pick up.
What's his problem then?
He's shagging in MAGA.
That's
not our problem. Tobes decided to go on holiday, so he's basically automatically forfeited. Him and his massive calves and a short man.
Can't argue with that. However,
Should we just do rock, paper, scissors to decide?
The blue Power Ranger outfit fit him?
Yeah, he's going to buy it himself. Absolutely.
Is he going to the kids section?
I don't know, those calves need at least like a medium man's, I think. They are big calves.
The sleeves will be dangling down, though.
That's fine, it's not my problem.
Yeah, true. But anyway,
just go take it to Taylor.
I would rather see you both squirm on Saturday.
I don't squirm.
Okay, fine. I'd rather think of you squirming internally about having
to. We could do that.
The whole thing is, you made this was your idea.
Yeah.
So part of me thinks you've always wanted to do it.
I've never really particularly wanted to go to Stamford Bridge as a Blue Power Ranger, no. But I am someone who is very open to the concept of having fun, and I know it's quite difficult for a lot of people now.
I don't like fun.
No, you don't like fun. It's like kind of you have to put yourself out there sometimes, and I think half the fun in life is doing that. And then also, from a media perspective and a business perspective, because I'm a fantastic businessman, great marketing. People are going to be there, take a picture going, who the fuck is that? Why are they doing that? Or if it's me, they'll be saying, why the fuck is he doing that? And guess what? I'll be doing the marketing for the Chelsea Echo. And they'll come and listen, or they'll come and take the piss. And the thing is, if they come and take the piss,
baby.
It's exactly, yeah? They hate us because they ain't us. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, baby. That's how we roll. But yeah, I'm up for that. It's going to be good. But yeah, it was. We've had a constructive couple of weeks. It's been good. I thought the barbecue went well. The legend stuff went pretty well. Very, very well. To be fair, I think that's me underplaying it.
Okay, let's go into that now.
Okay, what do you want to know?
It, so let's go into it.
What do you want to know?
I want to know. Okay, let's do an alien has just arrived from the dwarf planet Pluto. Long journey.
So Tobes.
Because it's dwarf. Nice.
He's tiny.
An alien who goes by the name of Tobes has just arrived from Pluto. Long journey, they're knackered.
Yeah.
First thing they see is this Legends game, and they have no idea what it is because they don't even know what football is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've gone too far with this analogy now because realistically you'd have to explain what football is, but let's just pretend, let's assume you've gone all the way.
They've done their due diligence.
This Legends game, well, how was it? What was it? Who were they playing?
It was pretty good. I mean, we obviously Chelsea playing Bayern Munich. Some fantastic players on show for Chelsea and for Bayern. Some people that, you know, obviously, you know, we had Frank Sinclair playing right back. And
he features in someone's team.
Yeah, Jordan got really excited despite not knowing who he was. That's just Frank Sinclair.
He was disappointed because Levi Colwell wasn't there. 5 games to Chelsea.
He's like, who's that? It's like, that's Frank Sinclair. Is it? No way. It's like, oh my God.
He's in your teammate. You should know who that is. Cheers to Stu for that one.
But yeah, he was, the team's great players there. I mean, just starting, I think it's like, for the charity, it was always fantastic, but I'll touch more on that later. But overall, the game itself was, I think, just a lot of fun. And I think it's what a lot of us needed. I think you could tell that with how Chelsea are at the minute and the lack of identity and lack of culture, people were really struggling to identify. And seeing these players on the pitch, I mean, I think start 11 was Cech, Bertrand, JT, Cahill. I think it was Frank Sinclair starting right back. No, who was it? It wasn't Frank. I can't remember who it was, but he was there. He had Mikel and Essien as the two midfielders. You know, Zola came on and played at some point. Lekulu was playing. Malouda was playing. Torre Andre Flo played. You know, we had some cracking players out there, and you could tell there was a real identity about it. You know, Di Matteo on the touchline as well. Leboeuf constantly going up and down. The most beautiful thing for me was sort of like, you know, we go in, pre-game they did a rendition of Nessun Dorma, and it was, you had Viali's family on the pitch, both teams around the centre circle, two Viali tifos, this whole sort of like the development of fanaticism. You know, there was a lot of love going around that stadium, and it was quite emotional. You know, I did shed a tear. I'm not going to be someone who's going to be afraid to say that. It was, you know, keeping that element of professionalism in the press box. You know, I think Liam Twomey was in front of me. Moose from TalkSport was behind us. We had ESPN, Rai, so like all these major channels there, and then just me and Jordan.
Biggest of the lot.
We had a row to ourselves. It was great, but yeah, it's like
smell.
Yeah. To be fair, I actually thought that through in 40-degree heat. I brought two spare t-shirts, which I only had to use one.
Legend.
And deodorant and aftershave. It's great. Mate, listen, up there for thinking, down there for dancing. That's all I have to say on that matter. But before even going further into the game and everything else, I do want to address one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The legend of the Chelsea press room is true.
Scran.
The Scran is next level. Oh my God.
What did you eat? Tell me everything you ate.
I kind of had like a little pick at everything. So obviously me and...
Smorgasbord.
It's like a little smorgasbord. I love that word.
It's a good word.
It's like really... I just think cheese though whenever it says that.
That's because we love cheese.
That is true.
Marcel.
Yeah. So like you go in, you obviously say who you're with. You've obviously done all the pre-checks and stuff. And I do want to say big thanks to Chelsea for allowing us to be there as fan representation. Really, really great, and you know, potentially, hopefully, working with the club more across the season, to just to obviously have open conversations with that sort of stuff. Work with the Sports Trust. That's the dream for me. That was always what I wanted to do. Even 100% Chelsea. Unfortunately, the tools that I had maybe weren't the best representation. And that's not really talking about the people. I think the people are fantastic. They've gone to do amazing things. I'm just talking about how we did it. But you know, growing up, it's a conversation for another day. But you go in. Sort of say who you're with, where you're working, and give you press passes and everything. And there was a really nice moment where kind of me and Jordan both just looked down at this envelope with our names on it, and it has Chelsea Echo Press. And it's like, it's not a big company, it's not anyone else, it's us. And that was really cool. But you go in, stuck our bags down, kind of sort ourselves out, and then there's got the hot plates and everything in the corner. They had a cold bar as well. They had smoked salmon with like a dill and cream cheese sauce next to it. You had breeze, cheese board, bit of a prosciutto ham on the side. Yeah, Lee Smith's back, baby. But yeah, had that. But then you had like the hot section where they had like grilled chicken, ratatouille, roast potatoes, which I didn't have. I thought, you know what? A little bit heavy. I think maybe roast potatoes aren't the right. So I did that. They had salads and stuff as well. And then I couldn't find the knives and forks, but that's because they're right at the end in little containers, like the little, you know, save the planet shit. Like the brown envelope stuff.
How long did it take before you found them? Did you start eating? Were you sitting there like a proper animal with a bit of salmon in your hand and then your fingers stank all day?
It wasn't that bad, but I did wander around the food bit three times trying to find these knives and forks. You had that. Scram was lovely. Obviously, loads of drinks. Mm-hmm. So I had, I think, about seven waters when I was there, like a couple of Diet Cokes. I think I saw someone having a hot drink, which I was slightly astounded by.
Well, there's that. I mean, I don't really drink hot drinks, but there's that theory that they cool you down weirdly when you have them.
Yeah, it's bollocks. It doesn't work.
Well, there you go.
It's not true. But yeah, I did that. And then obviously we go out to the press area. And yeah, it was a fantastic day. You know, really, really appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, hopefully we can do it more. But yeah, overall, the whole thing was just a great day. Raised money for a great charity as well, Royal Marsden, which me and my family have like a very personal relationship with as well. So my mum was there before she passed away from cancer. My brother's dad was also there as well. And then my dad and my stepmum met at a support group put on by the Royal Marsden. So, you know, it's nice. It's a nice little story. And, you know, they've really helped a lot of people, done a lot for everyone, fantastic charity. And, you know, it's a great place, which I still go back to sometimes. Overall, the day itself was quite special. Like, even my mum, who doesn't like football, she was there. There for Royal Marsden, I'm sure a lot of people were as well. But the money raised and everything in place was just, it was perfect. Really, really, really good day.
It's lovely, mate.
Yeah.
It's lovely. That was a lovely, touching speech.
Yeah.
Was Stamford Bridge full?
Pretty much. I think that there were a few empty seats. What was really good, though, we didn't notice that the away end was closed off. And we're like, why are those there in away end? Then we realised the Bayern players at the end of the game went across, and there was like 8 or 9 Bayern fans just in the corner. I was like, oh my God, like...
Surely they're just in London.
It was Bayern fans.
Yeah, but surely they're just...
Regardless though, that's like fanaticism, which I think rivals tie.
Yeah, but if you're a German in London...
It's a German...
Yeah.
Yes. So going to go see the Bayern Munich legends take on the Chelsea team, yeah.
I mean, and surely no one is travelling in from Munich.
Well, maybe people travelled in from all around the world to watch that game.
I mean, there were a few people
from the US
there
I spoke to.
Names on that field you would pay money to see. Probably more so than we currently have.
The weirdest thing about it was that team was the way that, you know, if I looked down at the laptop to make a note, or I closed my eyes just to take a little bit of the atmosphere, because I really wanted to write down intelligently how I felt. I know that's very difficult for me. So
said it.
Now I'm a columnist. People read me, you know what I mean? But the bar view from the barber's chair, Essential Journal, people actually read that. So thank you, Beth, for trusting me for the past 6 months. The whole thing was you close your eyes, you look down, and the pitch had actually moved, the ball had moved that pitch. It was like, oh, what? How does that even, like, it's insane that that's even a conversation that we're worried about having right now. Like, the fact that the ball doesn't move at the pitch fast enough. But yeah, that happened. But then afterwards, obviously, I have mentioned Gianfranco, me and him are best friends. Mikel wants to be an ambassador for something we might be doing at some point, potentially.
A little something.
Because basically, what we did was, instead of asking the really important pressing questions, which everyone wants to know,
we went echoey.
We went very echoey. We asked Chelsea legends what their perfect beer is. And the answer every time was just high alcohol percentage and then other things as well.
And I believe you told me that a certain little Italian man didn't quite understand what you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Gianfranco Zella thought I was talking about my beard.
Mm.
That was fun.
Beard.
Yeah, your beard? No, Gianfranco, beer. 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 But yeah, he said he's just, you know, needs to be able to pour it well, all that sort of stuff. Mm. But, you know, we you can see that all another time. We will let you know about that, because it's interesting what we're doing. Mm. It's a bit of fun, and it's a very original idea.
Mm. I believe you also spoke at length, compared to your average post-match interview anyway, yes, with a certain Frank the Beef.
I did. Frank's a great guy. I mean, we're so tight now. Mm. Best friends. Mm. He was great. He was really... we go, Frank, have you got a couple of minutes from Chelsea fans? Because that was our big selling point. Yeah, you know, it talks about everyone had their mics and everyone was a bit like, I don't want to talk to, you know, major companies, because it was all going to be about, whoa, Chelsea shit. It's like, okay, well, this is what someone else said. Frank, we'll ask you this question. What do you think is going wrong at Chelsea? And then this. And that 2 minutes turned into 7.5. So we got a nice little bit with Frank Leboeuf. And actually, do you know what? We'll go straight into it. Let's hear Frank Leboeuf's thoughts about Chelsea this season.
Transitions.
You bought it?
Yeah, yesterday. That's... Went to the mega store and I bought it. I had a discount.
As it feels, I had a discount.
20%, I think.
80%.
I had a discount. You know, we can talk about it.
Is it comfy?
it's comfy and it's the best badge ever. For me, it's great. It was before me. Yeah. I think it was, I would say, in 80s, something like that.
70s, 80s. Yeah.
It's great, but you cannot put LeBeuf on the back with the number 5 because it's going to melt, because the texture is not good enough, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. The color and everything. And it's great. It's classy.
So that's your favorite Chelsea shirt, you think?
It is. Absolutely. For me, it is. It is. It's, I don't know. I'm getting old, so I like everything old. You know,
less than wrong. I'm not getting old. Myself. Nostalgia. It's perfect. Yeah, just like tonight.
Yeah, but nostalgia is the worst. It's the worst because you think you're gonna get it again. It's disappeared. So it's over. So it's the worst. Nostalgia is the worst, but whatever.
Well, I mean, look, we'll ask one Chelsea-related question, but then I'm going to ask you about that. And there's a reason we're going to ask about beer.
The beer?
Okay, it's very important. We'll ask about that.
Okay.
But obviously, with Chelsea at the moment, we talk about nostalgia, and obviously you guys were fantastic tonight. It was great for us to watch.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Fantastic opportunity as well to see you guys play. Obviously, Chelsea now, going forward, the culture's changing slightly, people are saying. As someone who understands what Chelsea is, for you, how do you see this Chelsea side that's evolving in front of us now?
Well, not being critical would be difficult for me because I know what is going on and I understand that the club wants to change from what happened with Abramovich. It's hard because it was a successful era. And I understand they want to take another step and maybe change everything and start a new era. The problem is it takes time, yeah. Especially when you only count on young players and experienced players. So you have to buy them a lot because they are promising players, but not confirmed. Mm. And that's the problem. If you don't mix the right amount of experienced players with young players, you're going to face trouble. And this was going on. And I saw that against Nottingham, against Forest last game. I said, well, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to resolve the problem. They just play. They try their best. You cannot complain. But they don't understand the game enough to resolve the problems and to change the maybe something into the game. Mm. To get more aggressive, to press higher, to get outnumbered from the back. That I don't see. And I see players would do their best without not having all the knowledge that you need to change a game.
So learning on the job, basically, and it's going to give us those teething problems, really, where we might have to deal with it for a longer period, right?
Oh, yes. It can take time. But it's why I was critical about what Chelsea was doing during the last summer. I said, well, good thing they're getting rid of players, so they need that to a little bit reduce the amount of players in the dressing room. But what are you going to do from there? You need to buy players. And I don't understand that Ward-Prowse went to West Ham.
I've been saying this, and I've been shut down for that.
I don't understand why, you know, some other players that I saw came to other clubs, and that it could have been like a transfer of 15, 20 million, but you would have brought something different, and it's called experience. and it's what Ward-Prowse brought when he signed for West Ham against Chelsea, and I was surprised. And the future is good, but fans are getting impatient. They're not going to wait another year with a position of maybe 12th in the league. That's not Chelsea. We fought very hard to put Chelsea at the top. And since 1997, we started to win something better than any other clubs. Not to see Chelsea finishing 12th or 10th. So I'm not being critical, and I'm ready to be patient as long as maybe some people are starting to be listened. And we know football. And I plea so many people on the board to listen to the oldies, because we know football and we know what Chelsea needs to do to get better. And having only young players or betting on young players right now, I think it's a mistake. It has to be mixed with experienced players. We lost Kante, we lost Kovacic, and we lost many others, and it never been replaced. On top of it, we have Nkunku injured, and we see that even Jackson is promising. Mudrić is promising. Some others like Caicedo and Fernandez, they are promising, but they're still raw. Nicolas Jackson as well. And you cannot be at Chelsea or you cannot have a Chelsea only European players. It's impossible.
That's so true, and it's something which we have to consider. So hopefully we'll see what happens with development. But let's have a more light, let's have a lighter hearted question.
Okay.
This is the one I've been wanting to ask
okay,
you.
Okay, I can.
Right, yeah, exactly. You can. So as a podcast, we have been trying to create the ultimate Chelsea beer.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I got your attention now. So okay. We spoke to Gianfranco and he was saying it needs to be light, something you can really enjoy. But for you, what is the perfect beer? What does it taste like? Obviously, high alcohol percentage. We've established this. But outside of that, what do you mean? You're a Frenchman. You've got your man of taste. Come on, talk to
me. Yeah,
I'm a
man of taste, but I'm not a really specialist of beer. I like the, as Gianfranco, I like the blonde light ones.
Nice.
I don't like the strong brown ones, you know, where you have a very bitter taste.
Yes.
Chelsea is not bitter,
no.
So it cannot be bitter.
Okay.
It has to be light, amusing, of course, sparkle a lot, and enjoyable.
Okay. So when we do make this beer, are we going to have to send you some?
Of course, I will give you. I like freebies. I like freebies, you know.
If who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll give you my address. Don't worry.
All right, let's have a chat about that. You get it done. No, is it shake on that now? Let's get it done.
That's
Frank LaBeouf, Chelsea beer, sorted.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Cheers, Frank. I appreciate it. I've been vindicated, and none of you can ever say anything to me ever again. A World Cup winner has told me everything I've said has been right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tobe saying, oh, well, maybe less experience is there. And then I'm going, oh, this. James Ward-Prowse.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been a Chelsea player. Hey, what do I know about football? Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, Brazilian, not Brazilian. He would have come from Southampton. All that jazz. Do you know what? Have some of that.
I was just going to let you keep monologuing until you finally got bored of your little James Ward-Prowse obsession.
I will never get bored. I will never get bored. Because
ride,
I was vindicated in the game you played against us.
Yep.
All season, everyone was, oh, it's a stupid idea. So I was playing a few games because some people go, oh, yeah, you know, maybe he's the best signing. Twitter has a meltdown. So, oh, yeah, maybe they were right. But hey, you know, I'm never right, guys. It's always, that's apparently a thing. Mm. But guess what? I fucking was. So I have some of that. Bersh. But yeah, anyway, with with that, obviously, it kind of leads us quite nicely into our, well, we're here, the preview of Bournemouth away.
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Owned by a certain Michael B. Jordan.
Part-owned.
Yeah, I mean, he owns
it. Is he all right? Didn't he have like a serious accident?
I mean, you get punched in the head quite a lot for, you know, the...
Being a Bournemouth director, is that part of the process?
No, that was when he was in Creed. Tony Bell, you knocked him out.
That doesn't surprise me. But didn't he have like a serious skiing accident?
Are you not thinking about Michael Schumacher?
No, definitely not thinking about... I'm going to look this up in the break. I'm not thinking of Michael Schumacher. I'm going to look it up right now.
You're thinking of Michael Schumacher.
I'm not thinking of Michael Schumacher.
You are absolutely thinking of Michael Schumacher.
No. Maybe it wasn't skiing, but I'm pretty certain he had a serious accident.
I'm pretty certain. Whatever it was, I don't think it was Michael B. Jordan that had a skiing accident. Big thing, though, with Bournemouth, right? It is our only win under Frank Lampard last season. It was the win that kept us up.
Mm.
So, you know. Is what it is. You're right. You just Google. You sure?
What? Who?
You're thinking of Michael Schumacher?
No, I'm not. There was a celebrity who had a serious accident. It wasn't Michael Schumacher, like recently, and I thought it was him. Who was it?
I don't know. I don't really care about celebrity news. I mean, can we just kind of? I know we love a tangent, but can we not look up skiing accidents? Because that would be.
Oh well, whoever it was. So let me know. It wasn't Michael Schumacher.
If we make a beer, if it's really funny, do we call it the skiing accident? Or is that going to be cause a few issues?
I don't know what.
Yeah.
That's annoyed me. I've just made that up.
Yeah, I think you have.
I'm going to look it up and I'm going to find it. And in the next pod, I'll say who it actually
good
was.
For you. That sounds great. But yeah, look. First win. After the international break would be lovely. It was the last win under Frank Lampard, which
only
kept
win.
Us up. Only was it our only win?
Mm-hmm. Under him, yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Fucking hell. Oh, right. Okay. Sound. So that was our only win. What are we expecting? What do you want to see?
what I want to see and what I'm expecting to see, sadly, I think are quite different.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to see Ben Chilwell playing left wing, but I'm very aware that he's going to be playing left wing on Sunday. Yeah. I don't think we're going to see any change from the team that played Forest. I think it'll be the exact same team.
I kind of understand that.
Do you?
Well, I mean, like, he's wanting to get into a rhythm. The issue he's had is that we've not had players. I mean, well, we've had players go out on international duty. But, you know, he was talking to his presser earlier today about the fact that, you know, we're doing this to basically make sure we don't lose more players. So he's doing more damage control and we're only a few games into the season. That's the more worrying bit for me. So, which is why I kind of understand he doesn't want to lose more. However, when you've got Mykhailo Mudryk, Raheem Sterling, Noni Madueke, Ian Mattson potentially as well, playing as a, could play as a winger as well as a left back.
This is my thing now. Is obviously they were brought in before Poch came in, but this is like back to the Abramovich era of constantly having players that were left over from the previous regime that you then like when Alonso came in, he was perfect for Conte, and then he was didn't work for Sarri, and then he worked again, and then he didn't, and he's just got this player who's there, and he's on and off. Now we might have that before a player's really even had a chance with Madueke and Mudryk. It's too early to tell with Poch, obviously, he's only been there 5 games, but if he genuinely wants his left winger to be Ben Chilwell,
which I don't think he does. Just,
well, who knows? Mudryk and Madueke are available. This is a decent run of games. Why would you not give him a start? I don't really understand the whole point of getting 10 minutes here and there.
I mean, if it was me, I'm already looking ahead to November as well, and this is kind of when you're looking at that tough run of fixtures.
Well, it's in October. It starts sooner than that. We've got Arsenal on like 22nd October or something.
Yeah. Well, okay, that, so like that October through to just like early December, it's tough.
Yeah.
And it's even got potential for, with based on how that Forest game went, I do have a worry that if he doesn't get any results or many.
Yeah, he'll be under pressure.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but that's the nature of the job. And that's why I'm like, playing Chilwell at left wing.
This is what we were saying in our pre-season, like a pilot, so 11 episodes ago.
Yeah.
We said he needs to be given all the tools. He needs to understand what he's got. Mm. He needs to be given the time. If he's not given the time and he's not, he doesn't have all the tools.
No, but he's got some.
As Frank said,
he's got some tools though. Why is he not given? Like, he's not tried Mudryk as a start. He tried Madueke against Wimbledon and he looked good. Why is he not playing him more? I don't really understand that.
Okay, I get that. Yeah.
Like, Chilwell is a perfectly good left back. It's not like he can't play left back like Alonso couldn't. He's a very good left back. He's an unproven left wing. He's good going forward, but he can't shoot, really.
No, not really. The other
day. He's not like Hall could. If he wanted to do this position, why wouldn't you keep Hall? He would have been great.
Because Hall couldn't shoot either.
Well, no. True. True. But his positioning was great. And he was 18. Eventually, he'd learn how to shoot, surely.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Ben Chilwell's also... it feels like the new Mace. You know, he feels
he's the scapegoat now. He's everyone. I'm not slagging him off.
No, I know you're not.
But I'm just saying, like, surely when you have at least two talented young players who could play on the left, or Sterling could shift and Madueke could play on the right or whatever, why would you not give them a go? Especially as we play against Forest and we just lacked creativity. It didn't work. So surely you go, okay, next game, let's try something different.
Okay, so in your head right now, what is your team on paper? If you were to make your 11 right now for this game.
I'd go to a 4-2-3-1.
I agree.
Like Poch thrived on at Spurs. I would go Sanchez in net because there's no one else. Chilwell at left back, where he actually plays. Colwell at left centre-back. Thiago Silva, currently right centre-back. Luckily, I've heard Reece James probably went back to like game week 8 now, so he's got a little bit of time to recover, hopefully properly. So Gusto, right back.
Okay.
Caicedo, Enzo.
Right.
And then that's when you either play Conor Gallagher and you play more of a 4-3-3, or you play Cole Palmer and try and actually go for it from the start. I don't know which one's the right policy yet. I'd then play... Right now, I think I'd play Sterling on the left, Madueke and Jackson right now. But
yeah, but I think this is the perfect game for Mudryk.
Or maybe. Well, I have no qualms with him playing either.
Yeah,
Because he was obviously injured in that week where we played Luton and Wimbledon and then Forest, which we managed to muck up. But he would have played, got minutes against Luton and Wimbledon and probably got some confidence, maybe got his first goal this season. First goal for the club. Has he scored for us yet?
I think he only scored in pre-season. That's the only time he scored.
Goal, didn't he?
Yeah. I think pressure on for Poch to get it right is there, but I don't think it should be
Well, I mean, it is early days.
Yeah,
and I'm very much one of those people that thinks we're not there yet. We spent £1 billion. We've got a new manager. These kids, they're young.
That's ridiculous, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
we've spent £1 billion and we are nowhere near where we need to be. Like, I appreciate investments and portfolio. Yeah. Oh, fucking portfolios.
Love it.
Look, he's come from an investment banking background. I get it. I really do. And this is what we did with, you know, the LA Dodgers. And it's like, it's two completely different sports. Like, I don't know many sports where you can translate from one into the other. But I don't think there are any, really.
Probably some of the American ones.
Shock horror.
But that's obviously where they come from. That's why they think they can do it. And then obviously, hopefully, he'll come over here and realise it's completely different.
Yeah.
Might have already started to.
But this is it. It's like the culture shift is it's apparent. When Frank was talking about it, I can't remember Frank on a first name basis. Love that, me and Frank.
You need to specify though, because I think on the Chelsea podcast, when you say Frank,
when Topside Beef said,
nice.
Yeah. I bet he loves a good roast.
I don't think, actually, he definitely is a garlic man, because he's French, but yeah. I don't know, I still think Bob likes garlic.
There you go, next one. Roast with cheese and mustard, that's how he roast dinner with Frank LaBeouf.
Yeah, and I want to ask Poch if he likes garlic. If I ever get to speak to Poch, I won't ask him why Chilwell was playing left wing, I'll ask him,
please,
Mauricio,
please.
Do you like garlic? We ask the real questions here, important questions.
That's going to be clipped up. I can't wait for that. Moment is like, I'm going to ask if he likes garlic. Like, and then he goes, do you like garlic? I'm like, he's done it. He's actually gone and done it.
He's done it.
It's here. But, you know, the whole issue with this need to have all this young talent and, oh, look what it can get to. These are levels. Like, this is our scouting program. It's, like, it's great. Obviously, everyone... Paez for Ecuador during the international break was unbelievable, and obviously everyone's losing their mind over him now. And it's like, you know, people are talking on Twitter, if they didn't know that Chelsea signed him, oh, we need to get to him before Brighton do, or this type of thing. It's like, well, we've already got him, so that's great. But so he's not going to be here 5 years' time. Where's he even going to be it?
I think you can say that for more or less every single player individually, or when they're playing away from Chelsea, with the exception of Mudrick at the moment because his confidence is shot and. Awkward word to use, but his country is currently under siege, so I think he's mentally not in a great place. But pretty much every single one of those players that we brought in, those young players, individually are very, very talented, look very good wherever they play, and have a future in football. It's just whether it's at Chelsea or not, which I think is why, and it's threefold. It comes from that, the fact that they are all talented, the fact that they've cost a lot of money, so people think they should work straight away. It's not how it works. A hangover from last season, which I keep saying, but last year was bleak. As I said, we said earlier, Bournemouth already went under Frank. It's, you know, Tuchel was last year. People forget that. Like, he got sacked last year. That's how last season.
It was so long ago.
Because we've had four managers since. Because I forget that Bruno Saltor was manager for a game. Then there was the whole Potter thing. The whole, obviously, Bowley took over in the summer. Tuchel, Potter, disaster. Frank. I'd say unmitigated disaster, given that we won a game. Obviously, it didn't matter by that point, but still, not great. And Poch had to come in and completely get the players back up again, those that are left, all two of them. Bring in a creche for all the new players in the summer, get them going again, instill his philosophies and everything. And I can't remember what my third point was on that, but... went too far on that one.
No, but I get what you're saying, but then this is where, you know, everyone, you know, Twitter tacticos. You're the guys who take screenshots of games and talk about, you know, the half spaces on the turn with the register.
Football Manager is a great game, I love it, but it's ruined people's perceptions of football. I do it sometimes too. Not like that. I've not got a Twitter.
No, it's when you have the guys on. Okay, so we're massive tactical geniuses on Twitter. Like, mate, have you ever been involved with an actual football club? Like, I think
I want a sponsorship one day. By the way,
I can't believe you're doing that. You're doing that to wind me up, aren't you?
Yeah, but also it is nice, and I like it, and I'm proving to people that I do drink it, and it wasn't just a fun thing on our podcast.
But you drink sparkling water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. Good for you.
Makes a big deal of it, and then when I actually do it, oh, great, good for you. Can't win.
But yeah, no, I think that overall we've got a. I've now lost my point. we've got to really limit our expectations.
Yeah.
But then, unfortunately, that's not how Chelsea works. So,
but
there's a whole we're in limbo, and it's a joke. Mm-hmm. I don't know anymore.
There's what you've just said is completely true, but we're kind of in limbo in a positive way, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't, because we're not in limbo in a positive way.
Let me explain
it then. Go on, okay, go on.
Because we've got such a young squad, that is something. It's not like we've got the squad that we, like, I don't know, like a bunch of. We've got what we have now, but they're all 34, and we've just let the squad just rot. Like, they're all young, they're all talented. At least some of them will do it. They will, because they're talented. And then we'll start to have a core of a team in a few years' time. Hopefully before, because we'll bring some experienced players in. We'll start to have a core of a team. And then we'll go on from there. That in the short term, I said it. I think, no, I didn't say it. I thought it. We're not Chelsea at the moment. We're not the Chelsea we've known for the last 25 years. We're not. We're in a completely different position. We're not going to win anything this year. If anyone thinks we're going to win anything, in the great words of Roy Keane, you're in cuckoo land. We're not going to win anything this year. We're not. What are we going to win? The League Cup, if we get a really pleasant draw. We've got Brighton next.
Can
great.
Does it count if the under-21s win the Johnson's Plate Trophy? Or whatever it's called now, Papa John's Trophy?
Well, we could win it, because our squad are all under-21s. We could just put our first team out and have a go. But, no. Obviously, that doesn't count.
That is where you are going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But this is the thing, like, the window's shut. I feel like we're just addicted to talking about transfers. Like, oh, who could we get next? Like, oh, the squad's due, we need to get more people.
We've got our next 3 fix. Months. That's what it is.
Yeah, but we've become. This is not Bowley's. This came a long time ago with Roman, but we're now addicted to transfers rather than actual the football on the pitch.
Well, but I mean,
we play one game, we lose it, and we lose our minds.
I mean, that's the first game I look at. That's said in the international paper review. You know, that's Forest game is the only one I've looked at where I've gone, okay, we were actually awful.
Mm. Which is in 5 games and a new manager, you're going to have. With such a young squad, you're going to have moments where you're not on it. It's going to happen. As I, you know, we're going to have a ebb and flow season. Yeah. We're going to there'll be some games we'll play against a decent side where we're not sure on a result. Like a, I don't know, like a Brentford, and we go and beat them 4-0 because we score an early goal, we get confident, and we play well.
Mm.
And there'll be games like Forest, who are not a bad side, by the way. They're a good team. Not we should be beating them, obviously, but they're a good team. Who get that? We don't get the early goal. We don't quite take a chance. Not quite on it. They score. And then we struggle to break down that low block due to a lack of experience. That's part of it. Of course it is. But learn on the job. It's the only way they're going to learn is by playing.
Yeah.
I was moaning about it for years until we were forced to under Frank to play the young players that we were never playing them. We're just selling them when they're obviously very talented. Now we're doing it again. Although it's not from Cobham. They're from everywhere. But, I mean,
but
ultimately...
Even then, though, like that, you had elements of players within that team who had experience and won things. We don't have that now. We don't. You've got Reece. You've got
Chilwell. Thiago Silva.
That's
this season.
I mean, that's great. But
Enzo's won the World Cup.
Okay, right. This whole Enzo's won the World Cup thing. I it's a very unpopular opinion. This I get it, but then there are players that have been in squads that are shit and didn't win the World Cup. I'm not saying Enzo's shit, but I'm saying, you know, there are players that have been won it when they're young and they've not gone on to achieve as much.
No, I'm not. I agree, but in terms of what we're talking about there, in terms of the whole players that won stuff. It's not just, I mean, Sterling's won bloody loads.
But this is what. But I think what I'm trying to get at was that there is no leader in that team. Enzo's potentially getting there, but it's like you there's no one in that team I look at other than Thiago Silva, and he can't pick up 10 young lads on his own.
Mm.
Or there's no one on the bench which is going to be right, lads, come on, let's go. Like I said, James Ward-Prowse in that Forest game would have been perfect.
Yeah,
just a bit of experience. Someone can come into the side, but then they're going, nope, we can't sign anyone if they're over 25.
Yeah,
where's the logic in that? Oh, it's long term vision. Yeah, but the long term vision is not going to come to fruition with the quality of players if they don't have that knowledge around them already.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, but at the same time, these players will gain experience and they will have to, and they'll have to do it quickly.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
But we haven't really touched on Bournemouth at all. We've just moaned about what we've moaned about.
Exactly. I mean, with that, though, obviously, the game coming up, apparently we're going to be wearing our new kit.
Oh, yeah, here he goes. Stat. Go on. Stat, man.
What is it? Oh, okay. The stat here, which is the last time that we wore our third kit at Bournemouth, we lost 4-0.
January 2019. Remember
I was there. That was the week I did City 6-0 and Bournemouth 4-0. And that was the week I decided that maybe I just can't be arsed anymore. It was like, okay, that's a joke. The whole, that was a debacle in half in itself, but we've touched on that before anyway. Mm-hmm. But what do you think of the new kit?
I like it. I like all three kits this year, actually, which is a rarity. I do think we need a sponsor, though. I don't really like the lack of sponsor. It's a bit village, isn't it? I said it all last year about Forest, how it's a bit embarrassing. You're a Premier League club, you can't get a sponsor.
I like the look of the kit without a sponsor. I really do.
It's a bit training kitty to me. I don't know.
You feel it's missing something?
It's just a bit. Also, I kind of have to back my point up last year when I moaned about Forest and how village it was. They came up to the league, couldn't get a sponsor. And now we're obviously supposedly one of the big six and we don't have a sponsor.
I like the kit. I like the kit without a sponsor. For me, that is my. That's what I love it. I love it. I do. I think it's really clean. What I don't get was the whole marketing campaign. Again, there was very evidently very much a lack of Chelsea influence in that. Mm. And if there was a Chelsea influence in that, then you guys need to look at yourself, because Peckham Wright is not anything to do with Chelsea.
Mm. Consult the Echo if you need geographical advice.
Yeah, consult the Echo for geographical advice and for kit advice.
We should have a agony aunt, but Chelsea Echo. Cool Chelsea.
Call Chelsea,
or
we can do that. We've got Chelsea in our phone books, mate. We just call her.
What's I'm trying to think of a suitable E in the Echo.
Agony Aunt, which is like Chelsea Echo,
but something Echo.
You're good with words, Al. That aren't what's like agony, but E. Like if you're thinking Agony Aunt, like Emergency Echo. No, that's.
Well, that sounds a bit drastic.
That sounds a little bit like a nuclear attack's inbound.
Emergency Echo.
I mean, that'd just be for when there's a big news. I'll write that down, actually. Imagine.
You have a siren on there.
Speaking of sirens and noises.
Oh, here we go.
Charlie, where the fuck is my jingle?
Ah, yes. I've heard about these bloody jingles. I'm going to touch on it later because there's a certain section I want a jingle for.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll go through that. But anyway, Emergency Echo is indeed.
Yeah, we should do it. Agony Aunt. If you've got any issues about Chelsea or the surrounding areas of Chelsea and Hammersmith and maybe Fulham, but maybe not.
I don't work for the council. I'm not doing.
Not yet.
There are potholes on the North End Road. What are you doing about it? We'll have a chat with the council for you,
Emergency
mate.
Emergency Echo. We will sort it out, mate, because we're better than them. That's my policy in life. We're better than them and we'll sort it out. But back to Bournemouth, because this is tangenty AF, even for us. That was again on me. I think I always pretend that I'm like the serious one. And like, come on, guys, let's move on from the tangents. And then I've just brought up the council. Ignore
brought
that.
Up the council.
Bournemouth this season played 4-1, none, drawn 2, lost 2.
No, we're not finished talking about the kit.
The kit's done, mate. We've moved on.
But that was a clippable piece of content. You've ruined it.
I spoke about the council. Go on. Back to the kit. Go on.
No, it's fine. No, but Bournemouth.
No, you want your clippable
content. No, it's fine. No, it's done.
Fucking fine.
I could be a content whore in other places. Just talk about what you want to talk about.
No, he's going to sulk for the rest of the episode.
That's no, I'm not.
He's 25 years old, but he wouldn't know it necessarily.
Well, it might not be. You know, who knows? Might actually be a guy called Lee Smith from Milton Keynes. Might be 32. Who knows?
48.
48?
Not looks, but Lee Smith is a 48-year-old.
48 years of age?
Mm-hmm. You don't look 48.
Al got really surprised by my age earlier when I told him. He was shocked. How old did you think I was? No, they fucking will. I'll turn up the audio.
He just said, for those that couldn't hear that, he just said 30 and the keywords here, at least. How old are you actually, Mr. Smith?
25 years of age. Thank you. 25 turning 26. Wow.
When are you 26?
December.
Oh, so soonish, but still right. 4 years shy of 30.
Yeah.
And more of the at least part of that.
I get the grey hairs. It's the stress of having to deal with you lot every week. That's that's it. Dealing with trying to get Tobes to send clips across, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm that stressful. Maybe I am. I don't know.
Maybe it's just worried that whenever we do a video like call or a Twitter space, Gary's just going to jump in with some really random comment, which I have to panic what about. Get it down, you girl. So what is that all about? Where's that come from? It's when he literally said, lads, look, I have this. Look, get it down, you girl. It's him drinking a beer. I'm like,
my favourite random Gary Hayes intervention was when we were having a call, a planning stuff, and he just calls in from New Jersey. Adult nappies. Shows them, hangs up. Cheers, Gaz. Quality that.
It's like Gary's.
I hope he brings some back or has brought some back if he's back in the country, because I wouldn't mind.
I did ask him to pick up a t-shirt for me, which
adult
I want to get.
Adult nappies on a night out.
Just making notes.
He actually is making notes as well.
I'm going to look back at these in about like 6 months' time, and I'm just going to have written adult nappies on a script, and then I'm not going to have a clue what's going on.
No context.
No context, adult nappies. But yeah, I mean, look, Bournemouth.
Oh, we're finally getting to it. Nice. Yeah.
Realistically, Bournemouth played 4, won none, drawn 2, lost 2, so they're due a win. Charity FC, here we
Chelsea,
come.
Chelsea.
Charity FC doesn't work. Lost to Spurs, Liverpool, drew to West Ham and Brentford, so they're not exactly played.
They played 4 good teams, I'd say.
Yeah, they're not played any dross, so, you know.
Not played Luton.
No, that is true. That is true, so we'll have to see. But I'm not going to ask you for a score prediction, because I've come to my thing before this year, I never did score predictions. Mm. Because I was always worried I'd jinx it. Mm. I've got 3 things on a Chelsea match day, right? Or Chelsea in general. Never bet on Chelsea, ever. Never never put down a score prediction. And I always go through the gate on the far right of the corner of the Matthew Harden. That's always the way I go. And yeah, I've just stopped doing that this year. I stopped doing it at Forest, so we're not doing that anymore. But we'll have to see. Anyway, Bournemouth, let us know your thoughts in the comment section below, obviously on the pod. If you are new to the pod as well already, before we even carry on, please do drop us a follow if you're listening.
Please.
Make sure you give us a nice, cheeky 5-star review.
Like your Uber drivers.
Yeah, yeah. 5-star, my friend, give me 5-star review. That's what we should do. I think
treat
we should.
Like your Uber drivers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just piss in a cup in the back, throw up in our seats, but give us a good 5-star review. That's exactly what we want, but we'll move on now.
There's one thing I'd like to say before we move on.
Okay.
Former Chelsea legend, Dom Solanke, congratulations on your new contract with the Cherries until 2027. I hope you're arching in the corner.
Not on Sunday, though, hopefully.
Sunday, I hope you stub your toe. You say, I always say that, so I'm going to start saying that's going to be my thing.
You hope someone stubs your toe?
His toe, not my toe. Their
toe. I mean, have you stubbed your toe? I stubbed my toe the other day.
No,
I feel like stub your toe is like the lighter end for you. I reckon your most aggressive one is I really hope you step on Lego in the dark.
That is pretty painful.
That is bad.
Treading on a plug, that's pretty bad.
Oh yeah, no, that's not great.
I hope you tread on a plug the night before the game, and then tread on it again on the way back, so you can't play properly. That'd be nice.
Oh dear.
After that, good luck, mate.
Cool, fair enough. Anyway, we'll move on to our next section, which is Tom's favourite section of every show. Do you want to just make up a jingle while we wait? Because, you
Alb.
Know. Alb.
We've got Alb. We've got Alb for you, baby. Alb. That was a bit of.
But most people don't know what Alb is.
Oh, yeah. Alb. I should probably specify that.
Yeah.
Alb, or as I like to say, well, yeah, AOB, all other business, any other business, yeah. Depending on where you're from, North South Divide that I've just created. A bit like the Brighton Palace Derby that's made up. Alb, any other business. This, by the way, is what I wanted a jingle for. Cool. Alb. So don't know what I want.
Well, I mean, we're still waiting for a jingle for the main show.
Yeah, but you know, buy one get one free.
To be fair, there is that. I did speak to Charlie actually about that.
Mm.
He did say he's going to get his guitars out of storage and he's going to actually work on a jingle for us this
mate,
weekend.
Too, mate. Alb, get an Alb jingle, yeah, or AOB, Alb. Or any other business if you're feeling really funky and get the words in. But
how would you get any other business in? Like, would it be like,
have you got any other business to talk about? With the Chelsea Echo. I'm not a musical person.
Can I just get some clear boundaries here quickly? Book Aaron. Are you consenting to Charlie maybe sampling that for any other business?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
If he wants to, go ahead. I mean, if that means I'm musical.
No, it means auto-tune is musical.
Mate, there's plenty of musicians out there who made a lot of money out of pretending to be singers.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching. Have you seen Dave? Ever? It was on BBC.
As in Santan Dave.
No. As in. You know, Lil Dicky.
No.
You've heard him.
I've heard of him. But
yeah. So Lil Dicky's done a TV show, which is basically like a comedy biopic of him, basically.
Right.
Well, it's not obviously him completely, but it's really funny. And there's a lot of auto-tune in that. And he's like, yeah, music. And I'm like, debatable. but anyway, Aub. Trevor Chalobah is the first big story to talk about.
Oh, yeah. This isn't funny, unfortunately. Aub normally has a bit of humour to it. Not today.
No. There'll be humour later, though.
Yeah.
Because there's there's a comment you put in the notes from this morning, which I've fleshed out and I really want to talk about. But, you know, we'll get down to that later.
Yes.
Trevor Chalobah, obviously, being treated, quite frankly, very poorly by Chelsea.
Yep.
After not being able to agree personal terms with either Bayern or Nottingham Forest, Forest being the main one.
Or Inter. As well.
Or Inter. Mm. Wanting to stay and fight for his place at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. Loving the club, being one of those players that really can give everything any opportunity when they want to. You know, it's just having that personality in the team. Same kind of Gallagher. He's been frozen out, which, look, we don't know the full story. We're not in the dressing room. We're not on the training ground. We don't know everything that's going on within the club. But from what we see and from the information that we're being given, this really ain't great at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken about Chalobah before a couple of times in terms of the player he is. And in terms of what I don't think his future necessarily will be at Chelsea anyway, because I'm not sure he's good enough. But
I get that.
This is more than just the football side of things now. This is kind of, it's not necessarily, it might be personal, I don't know, but it's more, this is a 22-year-old kid who's been at Chelsea his whole life. He wants to play for Chelsea, and now he's been told, just because he didn't get his move, you can't play. You're not going to play. We're going to sell you in January. Not even being given a chance. Now, I don't know where that's come from. Whether that's come from the board or Poch. I don't think Poch would do that, but then there are a couple of players like Tomori. I didn't think Tomori would be frozen out by Lampard, and it happened. So
he has a history of freezing players out, though, doesn't he, Poch? That's kind of his thing. I'm not saying it is him, but...
But either way, I think it's poor. I mean, as I said, I've spoken about him. I would have quite happily seen him go in the summer for a fee.
I agree.
In terms of the treatment of a player and a person, it's not a very good look, especially someone who's been there his whole life.
I think that Trev and Conor Gallagher are two examples of players that I was talking about earlier. You know, when you're saying about players that understand the DNA of the club. Look, I'm not saying they're going to start every week. I'm not saying they should be starters every week. But I do think there is a difference in relationship between, I think, online fans and fans that go to the ground. And I think that's just fair enough. You know, I get that. There are different relationships. Even some of the fans that go to the ground, I don't think they appreciate as much. I think socially, having a player like that around, like, look, he might not be someone who's going to start every week. Like we said, I agree. If right the field come in and everything could be agreed, cool, fantastic, good luck to you, Trev. But a player that can play right back, centre back, defensive midfield, if you need him to, if we are literally on the bare bones of our squad, which we'll talk about later, by the way, which we're going to say anyway.
Mm.
You know,
yep.
Someone who wants to come in and wants to play and wants to make a difference and wants and understands the culture of what is needed at Chelsea. Why would you do that?
Mm.
You know, I'm not expecting him to set the world alight for us. He's had great moments. But look, I just think that this overall treatment is shocking. You know, he's not like Hakim Ziyech, who just decided to be, quite frankly, an arsehole.
Just is an arsehole.
I mean, we don't know him.
He's on the Cucurella list.
I mean, the Cucurella's not an arsehole. That'd be mean. You've not met him.
Fine. Cucurella.
I'm not saying I've met Hakim Ziyech, but we have seen...
Cucurella has his own list.
It's just the Cucurella list.
Yeah. Ziyech, Pulisic, Mount.
Again, Mace, we come to loggerheads on that just purely because I think there's more to it than that, but I do get why people say that he might be in position he's in. But look, regardless, I do think that Trev and the way he's been treated isn't great. You know, his very cryptic message
on Instagram.
Socials,
yeah.
was one which we, I mean, it's just a very modern way of dealing with things, isn't it? Cryptic messages on Instagram and Twitter and just behave. It's like, you know, someone's aunt on Facebook. And fucking Jadon Sancho's going to message him. You okay, hun? XX.
Hoping for help here. Throwing a basketball into a hoop. And I don't even know if you've
got who do you reckon would be like the aunt? I reckon right now it'd be Jadon Sancho, Trevor Chalobah, and
who are these? What,
the like, you know, you know, if you were to like move Premier League footballers from that position where they're putting their cryptic messages, their messages out on social, and then put it into the context of I'm a mum on Facebook. No, someone's not put their bins out. Jadon Sancho is the first to jump into Trevor Chalobah's comments. You okay, hun? XXX, hoping for the best. Hugs and kisses. Samantha.
Samantha Sancho.
Samantha Sancho. Could be a thing.
Yeah.
Or Janice. Janice Sancho. Trevor. I mean, I don't know. What would Trevor translate?
Oh, I'm Trevor.
I mean, Trevor just might, I just think Pat Butcher. Yes. Trevor Chalobah would become Pat Butcher.
Quite nicely to the barbecue episode, doesn't it, mate? John Smith and that.
Yeah, great. Good chat. Well done. Good
smile's
for you.
Gone now. He's not happy.
No.
I've not got Tobes here to back me up.
No.
Save it for next
and
week.
And even... No. You're going to like... But yeah, no. Overall, I just think the way he's been treated is... I think questionable has been a very polite way of saying it.
It's poor.
It's shocking.
But, it's poor.
You know.
But as the good man once said, it is what it is. From our perspective, because we can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll have to see. Well, I hope it gets better. This one's an interesting one.
From one gripe to another.
Romeo Lavia. we need another theme. Should we just see if we can get the rights to Casualty? Because this is another fucking injury. Chelsea injuries are here. We've got another player on the injury table. This one is the player which cost £60 million. I don't know what to do about this. Is the word from our physio. Romeo Lavia is out with an injury.
Right, well, that's that whole section done. We don't have to do any more on that. We did it in song. That may have been quite hard to understand, though, so I'll summarise it. Romeo Lavia is injured. He has an ankle ligament injury. I thought it was a muscle in his ankle. Turns out it's probably not. So I'll call it a ligament because that's a more easy solution and more like
it's less like, and it's like when Andy Murray pulled a muscle in his sleep before the US Open.
Oh, that really hurt my ass. I really hurt my muscle.
Can you blame him for being that depressed?
My arm really hurts.
Can you blame? We know about Andy Murray's life, right? Can you blame him for being that depressed for his entire life? Because I definitely couldn't.
Why?
Did you not know?
About what?
Right. So you know there was that shooting in a school in Scotland in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, well, he didn't get shot. And now he's become a success. He's won 3 majors. He's married to a lovely lady. He's got kids. He's very rich. Come on. Like, yeah, it makes sense. You have a bit of childhood trauma. But, I mean, Jamie's not like that. Wasn't he there as well?
Is Jamie, are they brothers?
Yeah.
I thought Jamie Murray was a pianist. Is he a pianist?
Jamie Murray. Oh, I'm getting Andy Murray's brother.
Sorry, I'm getting accused of Jamie Cullen.
Very successful.
That one, which is on Radio 2.
That's... I mean, I didn't think it was Michael Schumacher, but you thought it was. You genuinely did just get Jamie Murray and Jamie Cullen mixed up there, which...
I don't watch tennis, mate. I don't have time for it.
I watch a lot of tennis. It's a really fun sport to watch.
I just can't tell if you're trying to have sex with me or...
Well, that's how Andy Murray talks, so imagine how Kim feels when he comes home from work. I lost another match today.
I can't listen to this in the headphones. That is fucking horrible.
I can do Andy Murray all day long.
I really hope you don't do Andy Murray all day long. So I'm gonna put the headphones back on now. Thank you very much.
So we found things that annoy Louis. Calling him Lee, and Andy Murray impressions. Tobes.
Did I tell you the story about? I was going to wait for Tobes, but I do think it's important to mention it. My dad. Actually, when I told him, YouTube had been calling me. Not because I was trying to W and I was sad, just because I just wanted to let him know. Because when he started listening to the pod, he was slightly confused.
Who's this Lee bloke?
He actually, when he was doing sales calls as a fantastic salesman in the 80s and 90s.
In the outskirts of Milton Keynes?
No, actually. It was Slough. Yeah. He was doing, his patch was Slough. I think he did a little bit of Norfolk. And it was like Harlow, Essex, all that sort of stuff.
Was his name?
No, it wasn't David Brent. But they'd go in to do these calls or do these classes with people because when he stopped selling, he became a leasing manager and was training people up. he, instead of calling him Mario Beneventi, everyone called him Mark Bennett.
What did I say? I said this the other day when you were like, oh yeah, Louis, blah, 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 Italian. I said, oh yeah, your dad's probably not even called Mario, he's Mark. I don't know if that's a, I might suggest that I have the same thoughts as people in the 1980s.
You see, saying you know, quite sheltered in your life, is it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying,
you're saying you don't want to accept people might come from a different place to you. You voted leave, didn't you?
No, I didn't actually. That would be a very stupid thing to do for someone who, like my degree was languages, so it'd be a bit dumb to do that.
It would be. I did have relatives who were immigrants vote leave, which was really, really confusing. Yeah. I was trying to explain something that doesn't make any sense. But you know,
we might have to have another jingle because we seem to do it every single week. We
politics.
Have a little weekly politics section, roughly a minute long. Politics with the Chelsea Echo.
Yeah. Anyway, Ramiro Lavia.
Yep.
That's just nuts, isn't it? It's another injury. Followed by, we've also got other news as well with that as well. It's like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing? This medical team needs to have a word because they actually might be extras from Casualty.
Every time we say that, I want to sing the song.
Is it, what was the Holby City one as well? Yeah, Casualty. What was that? Just sounded like playing Super Mario.
You'd know.
Yeah, my version. Yeah, so instead of a man jumping for coins trying to save a princess, as a man trying to sell a sales machine or franking machine, Mark specifically. Bennett. Mark Bennett.
Mark Bennett takes on the streets of Slayer.
Woohoo, let's go.
What was he selling?
Franking machines.
What?
Frank, do you know? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, so the franking machines are the machines which you use to like stamp letters. People still have them. I still remember when I went to my school, my dad got really excited because the company he worked for, the school, had one of his franking machines.
Have you seen Friday Night Dinner?
Yeah.
You know the scene where Martin Goodman buys a fax machine?
Yeah.
And everyone goes, why are you buying a fax machine?
Yeah.
That's, give me similar vibes to that.
Well, people still use franking machines.
That's ridiculous.
Well, people still need to send letters.
Save the environment, send an email.
Fair enough, can't argue with that. But anyway, yeah, Ramiro Lavia is injured. The medical department need words, and we need to move on because
we sang it. So
we did.
You didn't understand it from our song,
pretty much. So if we do it one more time, na 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 na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na
na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na na
Rummy, yummy, 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 yummy. I was injured.
Oh, that was way better than mine.
Rummy, yummy, 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 yummy. I was injured. Rummy's got an ankle pull or metatarsal. Not sure what it is because Tom couldn't check it. Injured.
Ligament injury. Is that for 6 weeks?
No, 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 no. Next week on Batman. Wait, hang on. Oh my God.
I hope there isn't a next week.
I'm Batman.
When you do an impression, you're supposed to do it without laughing. There we go. It's Jamie Carragher's back. You did like half a second of your first of your thing and then just start laughing.
Where is she?
I don't even know. Who's that meant to be?
It's Batman.
I really hope this isn't in there. And this is cut out. I would say we have fun, but just Louis has fun. I stick to my strict policy of no smiling.
Hi, Batman. You were born in the dark.
That's quite good if you can do it without laughing.
Come on, use 18 years of musical theatre. Think about dead kittens. Stop me laughing.
Dead kittens didn't work. He finds dead kittens funny.
It's because I was looking at you with a weird face.
It's a straight face.
I was born in the dark. You merely adopted it.
That's good. Well, it's a little bit camp at the end, almost Chris Eubank, but the start was good.
Yes, I am Bane.
This is the rest of the episode, I guess.
Yes, Batman. I have come to take over the city of Gotham with my big bomb.
That's good.
Yes. Batman, would you like a sweetie?
When's April Fool's? We should do an episode where we all are a person for the episode.
I tried that and it didn't last very well. I spent the whole dinner trying to talk like Chris Eubank when the servers came over, and it got slightly confusing because I kind of got a split personality disorder and started sounding like King Julian at the same time.
That would be fine. You can do that.
Maurice, yeah. Where are you listening? Hello, my name is King Julian. You're listening to the Chelsea Echo on Highway 61. Maurice, come here. What do you want to say?
Gary will be delighted.
Maurice is not coming. Let me get Mort. Mort, come here.
Yes, King Julian.
What is happening?
Would you like to do the next section of the news as King Julian and Mort?
Yes, King Julian.
Go on then.
Yes. So there is rumors of the news. Rhys James is a potential move to Real Madrid.
Now you've turned to Fabrizio. Rhys James to Real Madrid. Here we go.
Why is this happening to me?
Well, you're doing it to yourself.
I know.
No one's forcing anything on you, mate.
I don't know why. Anyway.
He is 25 or 30 at least.
Yeah, fuck you, Al. Real Madrid and Rhys James potentially on the cards. Apparently, if the price is right, Chelsea will let him leave.
Price is right. Good TV show.
Isn't that the one where we pay, we take it away? Isn't that the...
Maybe. Well, I don't really know.
It's the one with the bailiffs got Razor Ruddock.
Good TV show. Yeah, sounds funny to me.
It's really funny. They tried to blur his face up, but you could still tell it was him.
Yeah.
He just didn't give a fuck. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll send you the link later. Thanks, anyway.
Rhys James, Real Madrid. Kind of depresses me, to be honest, thinking about this. But, okay, I'll answer this from their perspective. And I'll say this now, this is completely not my opinion. I don't agree with it, obviously. I wouldn't sell him for any fee. He's priceless to me, despite his injury record. But that injury record...
On his day.
Yeah, on his day. He's the new Pogba. Great. Without the testosterone problems. Yeah, I can understand it from their perspective in a way. If not for 40 million, which is the alleged fee. Mm-hmm. But if it was, say, 60, 70, 80, well, that's quite a big range, but somewhere around there.
It's 20 million bracket. Yeah. I wouldn't accept.
What would you accept? And then I'll think about it from their perspective.
What is the highest fee for a fullback in world football? Is it Marco Correa? Is it Marco Correa? It's not.
$62 million great British sterling. Kara's back. If you don't like Louis' laugh, this episode is not for you. I'll tell you that now. Well, if you've listened this far, you might as well carry on.
Paid £62 million for Marco Correa, and that is a record fee for a fullback.
I'm pretty sure it is.
So at least three times that is probably $180 million for Rhys James.
I mean, yeah, obviously, if you're talking 200 mil, then obviously you're going to accept it. But like, what is a reasonable fee? Say 70 mil.
80.
80 mil, which is ridiculous for a right, but I still wouldn't sell it.
I do think there's the issue comes with this new culture where it's sort of like, we need to get rid of all these academy players, but then you don't have the, again, like Connor and Trevor, you won't have that DNA.
Well, this is the thing. The DNA, and you talk about having experienced players. Well, he is still young, but he's relatively experienced. He's been playing for so long. And he knows Chelsea because he's been Chelsea his whole life.
Proper Chelsea, mate.
Proper Chelsea. But from the board's perspective, I can almost understand why they would consider it. Just from their perspective,
purely
financially. Because they
spent £62 million on Marco Correa and are now fucked with FFP.
I was going to say that wasn't them, but it was.
Yeah,
well, I mean, you know my thoughts on that, man, so I'm not going to go into it.
Cause he eats pie, he drinks Australia, his hair's fucking massive.
He can't play football. Rhys James, because he's injured all the time, and if you can get that much money for him, as you say, pure profit, which is what they're obsessed with, because they've spent £1 billion on some children, I can see why they would consider that, because he's injured a lot. And as a product, from a business perspective, which is obviously what Todd Bowley loves, business, money,
portfolios, finances, of players,
portfolio, future plans, graphs. That's how he does his business, I imagine. I can understand why you would think, Rhys James hasn't played for a few weeks. Why is that? Oh, because he's injured again. because he didn't get his operation this summer, which he should have done, and he's now had ankle injuries and hamstring injuries, I think.
Yeah, his legs are fucked, mate.
Yeah, so that's pretty not very useful for a football player.
He's like every man when they hit their like 23, 24 period.
Mm.
You know, something goes.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's hairlines.
Mm.
If you're called Tobes. You know.
He's actually the oldest of the three of us.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't behave like it, though. Fucking child. Fuck you, Tobes.
From Mr. Carger over here in the past few minutes.
I appreciate humour, you know?
I
own a Gadget coffee machine, mate. I can make an espresso and a latte in my own house.
Yeah, that's something that a 30 at least man would do.
I eat shredded wheat.
Great.
I have Weetabix.
So do many children.
I have low-fat Greek yogurt.
Fewer children do that, in fairness. I'll give you that. You've qualified for adulthood because you have low-fat Greek yogurt.
I go and buy my sourdough.
That's just a bit poncy.
What, sourdough bread's fucking great, mate.
Yeah.
Listen, you ain't lived, you know what I'm saying?
I've had it, obviously. And I don't know why you went. Have you been watching Top Boy? No, I'm saying. You ain't lived, bro.
It's dropped in, unfortunately, because I was actually making that joke with Al
for
half of today. Slid into the podcast.
Not had my sourdough, yeah, cuz?
Yeah, man, listen, you got any food? Yeah, fam, what you want?
Sourdough, G. What?
Yeah, bruv. Man, you got any of that sweet sourdough, you know what I'm saying?
That's what you just did. Like, whether it was ironic or not, it's TBD.
The problem was, it's been ironic for the entirety of today. Since midday, I've been here. It's now, like, 8:10. And I've been here for 8 hours just taking the piss out of Top Boy. And that has now led to me...
It's now in your... vocabulary a little
bit. It's like, you know, it's one of the things that happens when you take the piss and it just evolves.
Mm.
I'm not going to say, you know what I'm saying all the time though, because, you know,
I'm going to be me.
So be from Richmond. Yeah.
How we've gone from Reece James's injuries to sourdough and Top Boy. Like, I get, we have our tangents, but that is a tangent. But anyway, yeah, Reece James, Real Madrid want him. They can't have him. Todd Bowley, come on, mate. Like, you annoyed us when you got rid of Tuchel.
I don't think you'll get rid of Reece James. I really, really, really can't see it. I can't see it. I mean, unless it is like a ridiculously good price for a player that's constantly injured and cannot play and is just so crocked.
What's a ridiculously good price for them? Unless there's something going on in the background and Reece literally can't walk, then fine, obviously. There's no point in having him. But he's a quality player. When he's in our team, we're a lot better, as Tobes has always said.
Yeah.
So
and, you know, Reece James, as Tobes would say, is the bollocks.
Mm.
He's the cat's pyjamas, the bee's knees.
Moving swiftly on, Tim Howard.
Yes, he's got two things here to go through before we finish up, ladies and gents. You have an extended pod this week, by the looks of things.
Shock.
Gary's there going 45 minutes. For fuck's sake, it's an hour and 12.
About sourdough and Top Boy again. We do nothing but entertain.
Sure, are you not entertained? So you've put these comments in.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to elaborate. Why don't you tell us about Tim Howard and Christian Pulisic?
It's a bit of a violin-y again, really, wasn't it? Like, oh, what's poor American soccer players like.
I've just realised the opportunity we have here.
Okay.
It's a bit violin-y.
Oh.
I've got a soundboard.
That is appropriate to his comments.
Okay.
Not very violin-y, I'd say.
Okay. So, like, say the comments. So what did he say?
He said, I think Christian Pulisic did a brilliant job when he was called upon in that Chelsea team.
You're not doing it right. You've not got the Tourette's in there.
I'm not going to... That's too far. He's American. That's a fact. Well, he does have Tourette's. That is also,
that's also a fact.
But I'm not going to imitate him with Tourette's. I will resume. No, I'll start again. I think Christian Pulisic did a brilliant job. When he was called upon in that Chelsea team, if he was Dutch or Italian or anything else, he'd still be in the team. He wouldn't be the first one pulled off the pitch. He wouldn't be a substitute.
So
that was really hard not to laugh at multiple times at you having twitches.
for anyone that does have Tourette's, I do apologise.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
You know.
So
don't laugh, you cry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a bit violin-y for me. The reason he didn't do a brilliant job for a start.
It's because he was always injured.
Well, he was. And yeah, I appreciate there were injuries in there, but I didn't think his attitude was great. His dad was a pain in the ass. he would constantly do those annoying little slides into the box where he was always a yard off it and then be like, oh, damn, I should have scored there. Gosh. Like, I just... Like, it didn't work out, mate. You've gone to Milan, it looks great, but that's because of Serie A.
Yeah, I think most players do when they go to Italy. It's not really a...
You've been Spezia every week. Like,
nothing wrong with Spezia, mate.
Yeah, my cousin played for them.
He didn't actually play for Fiorentina.
Oh, well,
he replaced Juan Cuadrado in the Europa League.
Chelsea legend?
Yeah. I want to say, what's Juan like as a player? He's very fast.
Yeah, well, he is.
He's really fucking fast.
He's Inter now, isn't he? Just going around the Serie A clubs.
Is he Inter?
I think so. I think he joined them in the summer.
I don't know.
After many Fair a enough. Year at Juve.
But yeah, look, I think Christian Pulisic needs to get a fucking grip, if I'm being honest.
Can I just say, if
he was Dutch or Italian or anything else, okay. If he was Italian, I don't think he'd be doing as well in the Premier League either, because the switchover from Italian football to English football doesn't work anymore. Dutch, there's not been a single good Dutch forward player come to Premier League since Robin van Persie. Correct me if I'm wrong. All come from
Cody
the Dutch
Gakpo?
League. Oh yeah, because he's been doing really well and setting the league alight.
He's done quite well.
He's done all right.
Yeah, but okay, fine.
You know, it's not just like, if he was Dutch, the reason he gets taken off, Tim.
It's because he's crap.
Yeah, pretty much.
His attitude stinks. He's not good enough. He's gone to Milan. He's scoring a couple goals. Great, good for him.
Yeah.
Move on, mate. You've left. I don't really know why he's still bad-mouthing us. Tim Howard.
Exactly.
Couldn't make it United. Had to go to Everton.
Fuck you, Tim. That's not Tourette's. Just me telling you to piss off.
Unlucky Tim, mate.
Yeah, Tim.
I respected you as a player.
I did. I like your beard as well, Tim.
I still do respect you as a player, actually. You had a longevity that is
cracking,
rare.
Cracking beard.
Good keeper.
Really strong bald head. Great opportunity. I think, you know, if we to talk about it, was it 2018 or 2014 World Cup where he had the unbelievable game?
Yeah. Great keeper in his day.
On his day.
But there's no need to chime in on this business.
Exactly,
and maybe we've taken this too personally. I don't know.
Yeah, fuck you, Tim. Stay in your lane, Tim.
Pulisic, Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
We don't want you.
Yeah, Tim.
And this moves on to a happier, nostalgic tale.
I saw this earlier and I thought, do you know what? I kind of, it's just a nice way to finish the show. And it's a little story about a beautiful Belgian man.
Are you going to read the words?
I will.
You need to read it in his voice or an impression.
I don't know how Ria Mavuba talks.
I imagine with a French accent.
Okay. bonjour, je m'appelle Ria Mavuba.
Bonjour.
Généralement.
You don't have to translate it. Okay. That would be... Although, actually, try it. Go on.
Après c'est is after.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what before is. Can you just give me that?
Avant,
that's it. Généralement, avant pour une match.
Why do you put pour in there?
Shut up, Tom. I don't speak fluent French. I do okay. GCSE B, you know, failed it at A level, but that's not my fault. I basically had Chelsea last season. I had five teachers in 2 years, and I was the only person to A level French. Do you know how hard A level French is?
Yeah,
of course
I did
you fucking do. Fuck's sake. Yeah, but you're French. It doesn't count. Ria Mavuba, he says, generally, before a match, nobody did anything. Nobody went out, but on this occasion, we were guaranteed to finish third, and we were playing Nancy the next day. It was Eden Hazard's last match at Lille, and suddenly he wanted to organise a little thing. So we decided to go for a drink, but the drink in question, it ended up going on late into the night, and we had a meeting in the next morning at the team hotel at 10 a.m. At the hotel, Marco Bassa, our centre-back, opens the door and says, "What the hell are you doing here like that?" I hadn't seen, but he was talking to Eden. Eden answered, "Yeah, I didn't have time to go home." In fact, Eden at the time, he was still completely drunk. Anyway, the day goes on, and in the evening, we face Nancy. After not even 30 minutes, Eden's already scored a hat-trick. The guy hadn't even slept. He'd been drinking all night, and he ended up slamming a hat-trick in 30 minutes. There, we all looked at each other, and we said to ourselves that he really was special. What a man Eden Hazard is.
One of the greats. A proper Chelsea legend. A Premier League legend. One of the most talented players I've ever seen. Definitely. And I think people kind of Because let's be honest, it didn't work out in Madrid for whatever reason.
Because of the pressure of, you know, being at Real Madrid, I think.
And just whatever, it didn't work out, the fee, whatever it was. But people then kind of go, oh, like, just what a disappointment. But he was already like 29 when he'd done that. He'd already had like 6-7 years at Chelsea. I can't remember how long he was with us. I think it was 6 years.
2012 he joined, left 2019.
So 7 seasons where he was pretty much the entire time. Okay, there is that one obvious season where he didn't score till the Spurs game. But other than that...
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a few off-seasons, but, you know, overall he...
But he was our best player.
Yeah,
particularly towards the back, sort of 2-3 seasons. And
yeah, I mean, he's without doubt, like, one of the... He's a big game player, and he was someone who always turned up for us apart from that one season and a few
And even then,
games.
He turned up when it really mattered.
Exactly. I was at that game. Fucking great.
See you later, Spurs.
Oh, mate. It was really funny. But yeah. Watch. I mean, do you, like, with what's happened to Edin, like, genuinely, the fact that he's about to potentially join Royal Antwerp, turn down the MLS, no one wants to sign him, like, just... It's so hard to watch.
Career's gone, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, people kept saying in the summer, would you take him back? And I said no.
I still would.
It would be sad now, because he'd be terrible. Because he hasn't played proper football for a long time at the level he was playing at. And I think...
Also
we remember
his physio team as well.
And yeah, exactly. Remember the last game he ever played for Chelsea, that Europa League final?
Oh, unbelievable.
He was incredible.
I was there.
Full on 10 out of 10 in the Azerbaijani streets of Baku, making a bloody... It was actually quite annoying that Alex Iwobi's goal was quite good, because
it was. But can one thing, I do want to say one thing about Baku. No one actually talks about how great it is over there.
Because no one's been to Azerbaijan.
It's worth it, mate. I was getting big beers for like £1.
Mm.
And like the Azerbaijani version of Peroni was there. It's great.
But you're in Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Mate, it's unbelievable. I loved it over there. Beautiful place.
Because Chelsea were there. If Chelsea weren't there, you'd be
like, I'd go back. Happily, right. Without Chelsea. It's a beautiful place.
Might send you out there.
That's it. No, Chelsea Echo go to Azerbaijan. We are not going to Amsterdam. We're flying to Azerbaijan. That is what we're doing next.
Here we go.
We're Chelsea Echo. Azerbaijan, hey. Chelsea Echo.
To be fair, Hazard's not doing anything at the moment.
Yeah,
get him out there.
It's true. Do you reckon he does cameos?
No. If he does, I might have to check in on him on Instagram. Like, not that he'll reply. But.
I do feel we should do a cameo with the Chelsea Echo.
What, we do it?
No, fuck that. I'm not that famous.
All right,
we're not even that famous. None of us are. I mean, Tobes is actually
135 Twitter followers.
Yeah, it's true. Tobes has 50,000 TikTok followers. I've got, you know, a decent amount on Twitter.
Flex.
You know, it's all right.
How many followers have you got?
I don't use Twitter.
Yes, I'm not last.
Get in.
Listen, not everyone can win the races, mate.
You didn't win either, though, mate.
Twitter, I did.
I don't know.
Anyway, just give me a random name and I'm going to see if they're on Cameo and if we can get them to do it. What about like really... What about X Factor like 2006? Do you reckon there's anyone from there that does that?
Wagner. Who else was around in that era?
Chico. Wagner from the X Factor does Cameo!
We do better than Cameo. Can we just... What's he charge on a Cameo?
Wagner on Cameo charges £52 to do a shout.
What, like a
personal video. £53 to a personal shout out. it's mad. He was in the over 25. Oh, no, it's over 28. Did they put it down to over 25s?
Maybe.
Yeah, so we're still in the boy band category. I reckon we could give like... Boy bands around for their money. I feel like if Chelsea get to a final this year, we should do like a cup final jingle, like old school.
Fortunately, that's not going to happen.
Why not?
We get to a final.
But if we do,
mm-hmm.
I just want to confirm, if Chelsea get to a cup final, that we will do a cup final jingle like it's 1998.
Okay.
Sweet. Okay, I'm going to let Gary know. That'd be good.
I reckon I can write something.
And we'll get. We can message Wagner for £2 to ask him if he wants to come and join us.
He charges for a message.
Yes.
And it'll cost
you. I mean, this is him doing this. I mean, this is the video.
Me, Wagner, welcome to my website. Did you know I do custom videos?
It honestly is like he's a parody of himself.
Then you came to the right place. Merry Christmas to Grace Donnelly of Grange Villas from Maria. Happy birthday to Dave
turn off. I don't know. I can't. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Happy birthday to Dave Walker. He sounds like he's from Transylvania. That's not even like sound Portuguese.
He's taking the mic, to be honest.
I am Wagner from the X Factor. I am from Transylvania.
I was going to say before we should get him on to talk about Chelsea's Brazilian players.
Yeah.
And he can tell us how to pronounce them properly.
Yeah. Get
Thiago Silva.
That you missed that. Would just be such a good video. It's such a rant. That is, you know, that is very on brand. Chelsea Echo.
What
we we want to get Brazilian players. We've got someone who knows Brazilians. Wagner.
He's about the same age as Thiago Silva.
Hello, everybody.
As we are wrapping up now, or shortly.
Sounds like Dr. Nick.
This has been... I've enjoyed it, but... possibly the weirdest episode of my entire life.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr.
Still doing Wagner impressions. We've had Batman earlier. I did Andy Murray for a bit. Who else did you do?
I did Bane.
You did Bane.
Chris Eubank as Bane.
Chris Eubank. I did Tim Howard. At some point, I addressed Hammersmith Council. yeah. But in there somewhere, and we decided this yesterday when we were talking, that actually... Chelsea isn't the podcast. Chelsea's the tangent. The big tangent that we always talk about.
It's Chelsea Football Club.
We're just lads having a chat about life.
Yeah. We're three white boys. Well, two currently. RIP types.
Back to top boys. Yeah. Top boys? Oh, God. Back to top boy.
Top boy and sourdough.
That was the weirdest tangent ever. The defence of sourdough in a top boy voice to then go into top boy was...
I'm just saying, you have not lived if you like. You prefer Hovis to sourdough, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like my bread kind of crap, or like baguette, but that's stereotypical.
Look at me, I'm French.
All right, Lee.
All right, Tom Morris.
I'm not a country man.
I don't know, man. It is what it is. Game's a game. Can't do anything about it. You know, if you're from the country, from the country.
I'm not though.
Anyway, guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo this week. We're going to get Wagner on to talk about Brazilian players.
And Dom Solanke, talk about his contract.
I just so badly want to do that now.
Get Wagner on.
I want to get
52 quid for a cameo. How much is he going to charge to come sitting here for an hour?
Probably 52 quid, mate. He's not got much else going on.
Yeah, we'll give him a bit of coverage. He can sing. We can say you can sing our jingle.
Yeah, should we get Charlie to do the jingle with Wagner?
But he has to come on and do an hour of pod as well.
No, it won't be an hour. Just get him on for a quick video. We'll do the pod and then he can come in.
What do I ask Wagner? Why are you here?
Anyway, we'll get Wagner, probably Chico at some point as well. Maybe lads. Like who else? Like G4.
Joe McKeldry.
Anyway, guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo this week. On camera, once again, as well. Yeah, you can wave, Tom. Do you want to wave? And take it off, Tom, and look at me again. Thank you very much. We are going to be back, obviously, after the Bournemouth game, potentially Monday night. We're going to try. We've got to see if we can get ourselves this wonderful space that the guys at the Rebel School have offered us. Been absolutely fantastic working with them over the past few weeks. Been here today working in their co-op space. Co-working space. I'm not going to 1v1 someone on Rust. And in their co-working space, it's been great. It's fantastic. So if you want to bump into me and talk to me about the football and anything else, because, you know, I work, just let me know. Come it's down there. Come use a Rebel School. Obviously, this has been brought to you by the Highway 61 Network. There you go. Gary got it in there for you. And this has been the Chelsea Echo. Give us a little 5-star review and be able to come back and say, I was there when they were shit.
Thanks.
See you later.
Producer Al.
And love you, Al. Despite the fact you said I'm fucking 30, you dick.